morning, everyone. It's an honor always to be with you. I'm so happy to be here. I know so many of you from around the community and from, I think you've had me here like 6 times, so y'all really got to start questioning your judgment a little bit. I also want to let you know that you've had 3 members of the Washington family in a row, with Jay Bowen, Klockadup, my brother, with Kay Knott, Squaha Alitza, my sister, and I just want to let you know that that's quite a streak, and I think you put us in the right order. That's what I want to say too, is at least with me being the last one. So I'm the executive director of Paths to Understanding, which used to be Camp Brotherhood or the Tracy Levine Center. So the camp got sold back in 2015 because it was no longer financially sustainable. And I was brought on board. I came on the board in 2017 to help them re-envision like what that organization could be and do. So instead of having a camp to bring people to, we had to figure out what we would bring to people and how we would bring people together out in the country. And of course, that organization was founded by Rabbi Raphael Levine and Father Tracy. After a tremendous amount of dehumanization of our Catholic sisters and brothers in the lead up to John F. Kennedy's election. And Rabbi Levine, whose earliest memory was of a pogrom in Lithuania saying, "Kill the Christ killers," did not let that bitterness and that terrible event that was so young in his life and so formative keep him from loving others. And so since in 2018, I became the executive director halftime. And then in 2020, we merged my organization, Neighbors in Faith, with the Tracy Levine Center, and we became Paths to Understanding. Because we ultimately figured out that Tracy Levine sounded like a Jewish woman who was living in a neighborhood. And actually, there's a woman up here named Tracy Levine, who's a really nice person, by the way. So that's how we kind of got where we are. But myself, I want to let you know that I was born in Christian supremacy, a very kindly, smiling form, but one that was Christian supremacy nonetheless. And so I've recently just written a book called Go and Do Likewise. There's copies over here. That's what happens when you're an author. But what I was, and the cover for that was painted by Jay Bowen. And so that I brought that this morning, and Jay encourages me to bring that whenever I talk about the book, because that's not a bunch of pixels on a canvas. That is medicine, right? So when I was young, though, I was raised that Christianity is the only way to God and God's only way to us, and that Christians are therefore superior, and that Christians deserve a higher status in the United States. You can hear that right now in about 1/3 of the U.S. population have an ideology that where they believe in Christian nationalism or white Christian nationalism. And on top of them is about another 10% of the population that are sort of authoritarian adjacent people. So folk that think of power as always power over others and kind of believe that in a chaotic world, you've got to have a strong man leader. Which means that there is about 8 to 12% of the population that we have to really work to bring together who are not authoritarian leaning, or at least not too much, but who aren't quite sure, you know, how we're gonna go as a country. And that's why I wrote the book, Go and Do Likewise, because as the executive director of Paths to Understanding, and having been in about 150 Christian congregations in the last 8 years, I realize that many Christians have an entire web of ideology and theology and images that keep them from respecting people of diverse traditions and don't recognize the different ways that what is often passed off as normative Christian teaching actually holds Christians back from respecting and learning from and working with people of other traditions. And I realized that if we don't get Christians off the sidelines and into partnerships like that, the kind of work that Paths to Understanding does is not going to happen very well, because they make up the vast majority of wisdom traditions in the country. And so that's why I wrote the book, Go and Do Likewise, and it just came out in January. But We're facing a really set of huge issues as a country. And about 70% of Americans are anxious about our democracy right now, about 70%. And there's a couple of lies that we're, I think, unfortunately being tempted with, not always buying into, but still tempted with. And one is that our identity and our humanity is contained in or dependent upon our political ideology or party or who we're voting for. And that's a terrible place for a democracy to be, because it means that any policy debate is a threat to my identity. You see how that works? So when we talk about, when we debate policy, when we're debating whether or not to wear a mask during COVID, that becomes part of one's identity. And so a mask is an affront to the identity of people who believe that not wearing masks is to stand up for your freedom, right? Or is to represent the tough people who are not afraid of the big bad COVID, right? The other lie, I think, is really more subtle, and it's actually been around a lot longer. And that is, the only way to keep a diverse society stable is to maintain a caste system in which one group is in power and has first access to the benefits the society offers. So if you have a diverse society with multiple cultures and traditions, that really can't work, these people say. And so to maintain order, we have to maintain a caste system, which has been in existence, of course, for a long time. We also have a situation in which 50% of Americans are chronically lonely. You've heard the Surgeon General talking about this and how it impacts people's mental health, emotional health, spiritual well-being, and our even our physical health, which of course are all tied together. And so this is on top of that, we have the reality that we experienced, myself and Kay Knott, at first when we went around and talked to people in Skagit County about our project Let's Go Together, which I'll talk about in a minute. We realized that in Skagit County, most groups operate as if no other group is in existence in the universe. And one man put it the best when we were talking with him at a coffee shop, Tony Cienfuegos, and he was just talking about how, you know, he just sees us like almost being segregated, you know. Where he was talking about the separation, I said, well, Tony, would it be a stretch to say that like we're almost like, it's almost as if groups are legally segregated from each other? Like, you know, there's an enforcement mechanism that tells us that we can't relate. And he said, yes, that's right. And of course, we have social media whose algorithms are designed to promote the negative. So recently, I did some posts about our event, Let's Go Together, and some other positive things. Most of the people who are friends of our organization, who've liked our organization, who are my friends on Facebook, never saw it. And that's because positive news is not amplified. It doesn't mean there's not lots of positive news out there. It means that we don't see it. And then when we did, in fact, Vivica and I, who just came in the back, she's a staff member of Path to Understanding, we sent out over 80 press releases about our event, Let's Go Together, and we framed it in as newsy a way as you can possibly frame it. And guess what happened? No media came. So we're going to have to promote, we'll be putting out this week a post-event media package to help those organizations run a story on it if they want to. And so what that means to everyday people who are not stepping back and looking at this environment is that all they see is that things are falling apart and people are terrible and nobody can get along. And then, of course, we have COVID-19, which we are still all struggling from. There was an immense amount of increasing division that took place during that time and a loss of trust in our government, in our scientists, in our capacity to deal with each other civilly in society, people getting into arguments just up the road at the Skagit building salvage, work every day for those folk in that building who have nothing to do with COVID was spent all day in anxiety about who was going to walk into the store and go against the guidelines of the store, which included masking, and having to explain to the guy with the chin diaper that was not appropriate. And so we think about all that trauma and the trauma that we all experienced during that time, and what we've got here is a tremendous amount of distrust in the society. A deep sense that we can't trust, you know, the folk that we're going to meet on the street or in the store, or at least we should question whether or not we can trust them. And this is, of course, grounded in a tremendous amount of history, as you know. So in 1452, Pope Nicholas V, and by the way, we're not talking about anti-Catholic here when we talk about this, because all the Christian churches that came to this continent came here with this kind of underpinning to their ideology. But a king and queen in Spain were saying, hey, we want to go over and capture that territory there where the Muslims are ruling and where the Christians and Jews can live together. We got to take that out. We want that land. And so the Pope wrote the first of what was called, what became the Doctrines of Discovery, saying, we grant you by these present documents with our apostolic authority full and free permission to invade, search out, capture, and subjugate the Saracens, that is the Muslims, and pagans, like Unitarians or something, I'm just kidding. And any unbelievers, that word pagan, we got to really be careful about that word. We actually had a wonderful TV show here recently with some pagans on it, talking about how the word pagan is utilized and is as a pejorative, when it actually is a beautiful, long-standing tradition. Okay, so aside, ended. So, and any other unbelievers, the enemies of Christ, then who would that be? Jewish folks. But the word any other, holy cow, like this is unlimited. This is an unlimited time, you know, and guess what we got to do? So full and free permission to invade, search out, capture, and subjugate. And at the very end of this thing, it says, and to reduce their persons into perpetual servitude. Okay, so now the Pope, about a year ago, repudiated the doctrine of discovery. Many other traditions around the country have done so as well in previous decades. But I would warrant that most people have never heard of it. And the Doctrines of Discovery was quoted as legal precedent as recently as 2005 by the Supreme Court, by Ruth Bader Ginsburg, actually, who we love. And so we came, so the people like myself, my great-grandfather came across from Norway after a famine in Norway. My mother's family came here from the Volga, German region in Russia as refugees. But here is a painting of Christopher Columbus and crew landing on the shores. And where is the brightness and where is the gloom? And what's the role of the priest over there? He's trying to bring God to these people who either do not know or are enemies of the Christ, right? Right. And so think about all of the imagery, all the dehumanization going on in this, and all of it like authorized by a wisdom tradition. All of it authorized by the authority speaking for God. And so all of that is underneath what is happening, and much, much more, right? That is underneath so much of what's happening in our society right now. We could talk about rampant individualism. We could talk about the belief that human beings can be reduced down to our net worth, right? There's so much more that we could talk about. And so as we began to think more deeply about these issues during COVID, we began to come up with a program, as I've said before to you all, called Let's Go Together. And because the question is, what do we do about this? What's a human strategy that we can use to counter this lack of trust and begin to build trust again with one another? We know that we can't solve it with more Facebook. We know that the news media is not going to promote positive messaging. partly because of their business model and partly because of what's inside of all of our brains, which is our amygdala, our fear center. And that fear center is very powerful because all of us want to survive. And so if we hear something that's a threat, our brains perk up and our eyeballs open up and we start watching. It's not just them, it's also us. And in a great, you know, kind of negative downward spiral. And so in talking with people of diverse traditions, like maybe 150 people, really, roughly over the years there, we came up with a strategy called Let's Go Together, the courage to grow from us to trust. And it really is, what we need to do is have a face-to-face strategy, not a Facebook strategy. So what basically every tradition said, when I asked them the question, what do we do when trust has been lost? When people, we feel like we're enemies with everyone. What do we do? And they all said, well, we got to get together and like eat and share stories. We got to serve the community somehow together. And then we got to show up in public together and show that we can honor each other's tradition and humanity. And why it's important from our own tradition to do that with each other. And so we began to do the work of putting together a Let's Go Together, and Kainat Skohalitsa and I began to go out and have these conversations. We talked with Jim, you know, one day, right? And I'm so thankful that the Skagit Unitarian Fellowship is willing to be a part of this, was one of the first groups to sign on in the Valley, right? Which I kind of knew you would, but I was very thankful. And so we were able this about 3 weeks ago to have a gathering where 70 people showed up across many lines of tradition, life circumstances, and identities. And it was amazing what came out of that. And you'll see a video about that in a minute. Now, that sounds like a simplistic strategy. But it's not simplistic. It's just simple. It's powerful. So when people don't know each other, we got to think about human nature. And of course, all these conversations got me thinking about Jesus, because I am a practicing Christian. I'm a Lutheran clergy person. And what did Jesus say, for instance? Love your enemy, pray for those that persecute you, do good to those who harm you. That is not just a bunch of things we should do. That is a strategy for what we do when societal trust has been broken. As it was in first century Palestine, because the Romans came in and through colonialism broke everything and everyone. Jesus wasn't saying, well, here's some things you should do. He's saying, this is how we like build back from this place of complete and utter devastation, loss, and isolation. And of course, Genjo, my friend who's a Zen Buddhist, was the one in conversation with that the first thing just crystallized in my mind. So it wasn't just by studying the Christian scripture and reading good theologians that I figured it out. But it began to occur to me that it hit me over the head, like it knocked my brain like a bell. It was in conversation with others. And so we're in the middle of this first try, this pilot project about Let's Go Together here in the Valley. And so what I want to show you is a video. We'll see if we can get the sound right. And what is happening here, we had 70 people come. Vivica worked really hard to get all the details going. Vivica, say hi to everybody. And she did a great job. So we knew about a year ago that I could not handle all the details. And the Board of Path to Understanding said, Terry, you got to hire somebody. And I said, we don't have money to hire anybody. We're not going to find money right away to hire anybody. And they said, spend the money anyway, right? So we are spending down the funds from the sale of the camp to make this happen. You know why we did that? Because we think that our society is right on the precipice. And that $120,000 isn't going to matter if we all fall apart. I mean, I'm serious. That's the conversation we had. So we're going to try to get this video for you. And these are our folk that spoke toward the end of our first gathering where Jim and others of you were at. And this is just so powerful. And what I want you to recognize, I want you to think about who is it that spoke. And I want you to think about the diff about how what a long journey some of these folk had to get to that meal. Because it, when I think about that, it's very humbling. So here we go.
One thing I want to acknowledge is that this is the best table in the whole wide world. And I am humbled to be a part of the best table in the whole wide world. And I want to, I mean, the experience for me was an abundance of gratitude for the depths in which you shared everything. It was a beautiful conversation, and I had a lot of gratitude and experiencing the generosity, so thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for inviting us. We are also a very small community in Skagit County. We are from Punjab, India. State is Punjab. And in Skagit, we are around about 100, 120 members. And we used to go to Linden or Marysville for our religious purposes. So as a community member, we bought a church across the street from this church in 2022. And when Viveka invited us, we are pretty much hesitant. And while we step in, we are hesitant too. We all five members are here. We are not wearing our turbans. So that is a part of our culture. But next time when we come, we can bring our culture and our turban and heritage with you guys. And thank you for inviting us. Thank you very much.
Okay. Hi, I'm Julia Ortiz, and Kay Knott is the one that invited me. And I want to say that I did have hesitation to be in a group of people that I don't know and that I don't usually hang out with. I normally hang out with tribal people, like 98% of the time. And when I say that, it's specific to Lummi and Swinomish. And I shared with my table three, that listening to them and them listening to me made me feel safe, made me feel valued and listened to.
It wasn't that long ago in our tribal community that we didn't wear anything that represented our tribal identity because it wasn't safe. And so this is kind of a modern version of that, but it is to honor who you are, and we honor who you are. And I'm so proud of Julia for sharing those words. I've been doing this for a couple of years with Terry, and he knows that I wasn't all that comfortable doing it. But what matters to me is that for my children and grandchildren, as they meet me in my story where I'm at, and I tell them about our tribe or my family, that they meet other tribal people, they might meet them in a different way. And so when you share your story, you open that up for your community and your families to say there's another story here. And I am honored that you shared that. And that I hope that you come the way you always would dress and that we would honor that. My heart is so deeply touched, you can't even imagine. I get to see and enjoy what I've been able to experience in the last couple of years, which is meeting people from so many different backgrounds, and how heart-filling and hopeful that is in a time when there's such division. So I lift my hands to you, and I thank you for the gift that you gave of coming tonight.
I am from Iran. I am from Baha'i community. Everybody knows that the Baha'i community, we brought up with love and peace. We don't know prejudice, we don't know criticizing, nothing. But I was expecting this unity would be just in my culture, just in my unit. And now I see everyone, a human that means human. And I am so grateful to be here.
And my story that came down to my family was about my great-great-great-grandfather who had welcomed the first non-Native people through the valley. And tonight, as I know he's standing with me tonight, He's extremely happy and proud at what's going on. This was his vision of sharing the wisdom of our culture and our people with all the different cultures in the world. That was his hope, those people would come together on our land and share the stories, the rich stories that makes us all better people. He expected that day, and today the day has come. I want to thank everybody for being here.
So we were all like, it took a while for us to recognize that the power of those statements and to recognize the distance that communities in this county, the members of those communities had to walk to get to that room because of the very real trauma and pain and violence that they've experienced. I mean, remember, our indigenous neighbors were not able to share in their tribal ceremonies until 1978. Even now, when tribal fishermen head out for fishing, sometimes they hear gunshots over their head, right? But even deeper than that is our isolation from each other. So the reality is when people have an experience like that, some studies show that they share it with on average of 20 people. And by that, I don't mean Facebook sharing. I mean, they tell people, 20 people, about it. And so think about the 70 times 20. What's the math, right? Right? That's a lot of people. And some percentage of the people who hear about it are going to share about it too. And so it gets multiplied again. So here's some of the stories from it, or photos from it. And then, of course, in a couple of weeks, we're going to do a service project for those that are part of the Let's Go Together process this year. And then in a few weeks, in May, we're going to have a public event, which any of you could come to, at the Lincoln Theater at 7 o'clock. April 20th at 7 o'clock. No, I'm sorry, May 20th at 7 o'clock. I'm getting my dates all mixed up. Thank you, Vivica. So the public event at the Lincoln Theater is May 16th at 7 p.m., and it's going to be a really, really great event. We will begin with some tribal welcoming there. But what happened to me is that about January 8th, I was sitting watching some podcasts on YouTube, and I just got overwhelmed because I realized that Let's Go Together is a pretty involved process. You know, lots of community meetings, getting people together to do three events. The logistics for three events is not insignificant. We have to do security for those events as well, because we have groups in this valley that would love to disrupt and show their power in an event like that. And so it occurred to me that we needed to have like a one event thing that we could offer people and create a toolkit for folk to be able to do it. And so within less than 2 months' time, myself and my staff have been able to put together a 12-page toolkit with other resources as well called a Potluck for Democracy. And this is something that a couple of individuals could do, a couple of wisdom communities could do, and it's basically everything you need to put this on. And we're working with our partners at Seattle University's Center for Interreligious and Ecumenical Engagement. And so we're meeting Thursday to talk about how we can spread the word about this through all of our networks. Because the reality is, we have to build up this democracy and rebuild our trust from person to person and group to group. Just sitting around and preaching about it or praying about it, those are very powerful, but that's not enough right now. And what I fear is happening is that many, many wisdom communities are misunderstanding our power. Our power right now is the power of relating to each other in public. And we forget the very strong, powerful human strategy of face-to-face interaction, getting to know another person, of doing some good with and for each other, of seeing people, leaders of other communities, respecting people of diverse communities. That's immensely powerful, and it changes people's hearts. And it enables them to begin some of the deeper work that needs to be done. Because is there racism in Skagit County? Well, not in Anacortes, but in Skagit County there is. That's a double joke there, right? So, we're not like that here, right? Of course. But as you begin to engage, as you begin to hear the stories that people have lived, and how even though they've experienced trauma and pain, that they're willing still to show up for our common humanity, it helps people begin to say, okay, I've got to do some work on my own Christian or white supremacy. I've got to do my own work on my isolation from others, right? And when that happens, it's incredible, the power in the room. As people left, they said things like, I feel greater hope tonight. As people left the room, one person said, my heart is breaking open. This is what I want for my 7th generation leadership. Right? People began to feel like their despair and their isolation was lifting a little bit. And so what I want to just remind us is that our wisdom traditions have something to offer right now. We can all offer some wisdom about human beings. We know that there are people out there, there are leaders out there that know how to divide us, that know how to activate our amygdala and our fear. And they do that for their own benefit and in a way that harms us, that harms each one of us, that harms the planet. But in every neighborhood, we have communities of wisdom just like this, who have tables and chairs, who know how to make coffee, who know like where you put the napkins, who know that you put the silverware last at the table so people aren't fumbling with their silverware while they're trying to feed themselves and get food on their plates, right? And so what we're saying is that we need to unleash the power of the potluck. Okay, we don't have to like write a whole, book about, how Christians can really, you can do that. That's good to do. It's within our power to rebuild our democracy. And so I have an ask for you. Will you help me reach out to the Unitarian Universalist, leaders in the state and in the country to help us promote the potluck for democracy? Because this week we're going to be working on building out the partners that we have. And so that's what we're trying to do, friends. We're making this way harder. We think it's so complicated. And there is a lot of trauma and pain to go through. It is not in some ways simple. But it is within our power not to fix, but to begin. To begin to relate to each other and bring healing with and for each other in this time of tremendous loss of trust, and begin to see each other as people who will accept us if we wear a turban, or will accept us if we wear indigenous clothes, or will accept us if we're pagan, will accept us if we're Unitarian, because we are, after all, people. We're all people, but we can't, I don't think, see that adequately until we get across that table, until we break out the shovel together, until we see each other risking ourselves and sharing how important it is for us to see each other as human beings. Thank you so much for inviting me today.